You know, we're all created with purpose. Every one of us. And that's for fellowship with the Father. We're all individuals, but God has called us to a unified body of individuals. We're a unified body. You can't spell community without unity. And we're called to be united in Christ. Our common interest is Jesus. He is the gatekeeper, and we enter through him because there is no other way. There is no other road. All other religions, they don't make Jesus their Lord and Savior like we do as believers. Now, they made reference to Jesus, but they don't make him their Lord and Savior. We do. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the center of our lives, not just as individuals, but as the body of believers. So when we come together, it's not about us. It's not about what others may want for themselves, but it's about Jesus. He's the answer. He's the solution for all our problems, to our understanding, our purpose for why we were created for this particular time. Remember, he is the word that was made flesh, and we were created by him and for him. Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of Israel, but he calls his disciples to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations, right? So we're not making converts or consumers. We're making disciples patterned after Jesus. That walk and talk with the authority that Jesus had while he was here on earth. And he gave it to the body of Christ. So when we gather the few times a week, it's about him. It's about growing closer to him. It's about learning more about him. Yet we may have problems, but that's the reason why we have a community of believers, for those who will pray for us, stand in a gap with us and what have you, and whatever we're going through, we're able to push through because wherever two or more are gathered together in his name, he is right there in the midst of us. If you got your Bibles, open up to John chapter 12. We're going to read, starting in verse 1. It says, 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. Now, if we back up a chapter, we know that Lazarus had died. He died of a sickness, right? And Jesus went and raised him up. He had been dead for 4 days. Stinking. And Jesus raised him up. He called him out. He called him out by name. And he raised him up. Now he's sitting in his home and eating with him. You know, when people may think, because sickness may be the death of that person or what have you, and if God raised him up, that sickness will still be in him. It won't. You won't find no trace. And see, and here's the thing. It said when God heals you, when God truly heals you, you won't find no trace. There should be no trace. So if you have traces of this and that in your body, there should be no trace at all when God heals you. That's how powerful his anointing is. That's how powerful he is. There should be no trace. Well, I got to live with this for a few years and what happened. No, you don't have to. That's what they tell you, but you don't have to. That's not scriptural. You don't have to live with that thing. Believe the good report. Believe the good news. You don't have to. Jesus has the power to raise the dead. He has the power to heal and restore all those who are brokenhearted. He has the power to do whatever it is he wants to do. In verse 2, it says that dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with them. In verse 3, he says, then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. Mary's gift to Jesus was a blessing. She anointed the anointed one's feet. And it says a fragrance filled the house, the aroma of it. See, we cannot anoint the feet of Jesus literally, but we can't. Well, but what we can do is be a sweet aroma for in the house of God. We can be a sweet aroma for Jesus out there in our everyday lives. We could be that sweet aroma for him. We can be, everywhere we go, we could be that sweet aroma. It says, remember, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace. See, Mary was here to serve Jesus. So when we gather, it is about Jesus. So it's basically, how can I help somebody today? How can I bless somebody today? You know, when people come to church, it's just, think about it. They're all there together. His disciples, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, Jesus is there in that house. She anoints Jesus' feet. She was saving this to anoint his feet. Can you imagine his disciples being there and thinking, boy, Martha looks good over there. Mary's got it going on. I wish she would rub my feet like that. They were all together and it was about Jesus. When we come together, we make it about Jesus. They weren't there to hook up with somebody. Sometimes when people come to church and it's like, you know, I'm here, but you don't know what they've gone through. You know, they have been through so much stuff. They thought their brother was dead. And then now Jesus raised them to life and he's there eating with them. The last thing on their mind is trying to get with somebody. And the thing about it is that when we come into the house of God, people are there to know Jesus. They're there to learn about him. They're there to draw close with a community of believers that are believing the same way they are. The last thing they want to do is get hit on. Check out that usher. No, they're there serving the Lord. Check out that woman over there. I said, you know, there's many ways to divide in the body of Christ, and that could be one of them. Why? Because we're supposed to be a sweet aroma, not repelling. Sweet aroma. Sweet aroma. So what do? Pastor, it's been a while since I got with somebody. Here's the thing. Draw closer to him. Your heart may not be ready. You might be thinking, your body might be ready, but your heart may not be ready. And the thing about it is that when you draw closer to him and he starts working out all those kinks, getting all those impurities out, guess what? You can become that sweet aroma for God again. And it will attract rather than repel. You won't even have to chase anybody down. Hey, come here, can I get your number? You won't have to do that. Why? There's something different about this individual. There's something changed in him. I think I might want to get their number. But wait until after service. This isn't a meat locker. Please. Please. We come together. We gather together. It's about Jesus. We don't want to run people off because I got hit on 15 times today. Man, everybody's driving to the hoop. Every Israelite is driving to the hoop pretty hard. Come on. We come together. It's about Jesus. We make it about Jesus. Mary and Martha were there to serve Jesus. Mary was anointing Jesus' feet. Martha was serving everyone. Verse 4 says, but Judas Iscariot, the disciples who soon betrayed him, said, said this. He goes, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. The first two gospels don't have that account saying that Judas had said this. You might be thinking that's a noble thing to say. But we all know what Judas was, right? She did this beautiful thing for Jesus. And this is a moment that people have preached for 2,000 years. A moment that she shared between her and Jesus. Now, what does that have to do with Judas? Absolutely nothing. Or any other disciple for that matter. This gift that you might be bringing, this offering that you might be bringing, that's between you and God. No one else. God knows what you've been through. God knows how you've been living. God knows what he's brought you through, what have you. This gift is for him. Well, so-and-so didn't give that much an offering today. Who cares? They gave. That's their offering to the Lord. They gave a dollar, God bless you. You gave more, God bless you. And the Bible says in verse 6, it says, not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. This passage of scripture shows what you love the most. Mary, she loved Jesus. Judas loved money. Because he handled the money and he would often give to the poor. Judas loved the money and wanted more of it. So the more that came through the ministry, the more he stole. In verse 7, it says, Jesus replied, leave her alone. I love it when Jesus steps in. Even though we might be saying, we might be doing the right thing, we may be thinking that we're saying and doing the right thing, Jesus will always step in. And he replied, he says, leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. See, true shepherds will always protect, and here Jesus is protecting her gift and her sacrifice that she had made to him. That expensive perfume could have been sold, and Mary could have lived off that the sale of that perfume. She could have lived off that money. It was hers. But she gave it as a gift. She could have taken a little bit and gave it to the poor. Why? Because it was hers to do with whatever she wanted to. It was hers to do whatever she wanted to with it. And Jesus honored what she chose to do. What you choose to bring to God as an offering is between you and God and no one else. It's not for me to say or any other person to dictate what you give to Jesus. Amen. In verse 9, it says, when all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. They became the main attraction. You know, miracles do glorify God. Everyone knew that Lazarus had died. Everyone knew that around that region. And that Jesus had raised them up. Now they came to see Jesus and Lazarus. You know, I think it was in 2000. I still recall Mary Fran had talked about this when she was here. The church has gotten to a place where the Holy Spirit would draw people in based upon the gifts. And now it got to the place to where we were doing all this other acting and the dramatized and every which way. Everybody's just trying to put on a show within themselves, and it's not basically what the Holy Spirit is doing. Miracles will glorify God because that's the way he's always been from the beginning. It's not for show. This isn't about me. Yes, I may use the word I every now and then, but it's a testimony. It says, and then throughout generations, people will always come to see the power of God being displayed, and it will continue to be that way until Jesus comes back. And then there will always be those who are led astray that claim to be servants of God. They will do everything they can in order to stop the miracles and signs and wonders. Why? Because they don't flow in it. They're embarrassed. God isn't working with them. Because look at verse 10. Look at what it says here. You have that, Gary? It says, then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus too. For it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. I didn't give that to you. I told you 1-9. Sorry, that's my fault. So not only were they already plotting against Jesus, now they wanted to kill off Lazarus. They wanted to kill off the proof. Some of you might be evidence of what God has done in your life, and the enemy doesn't want you to live that out and tell other people about you. You're living proof of what God has done in your life. Ain't that crazy? You know you're on the wrong side of things when you start trying to disprove what God has done in someone else's life. You're on the wrong side of it. It says, not only were they plotting to kill Jesus, but they plotted to kill Lazarus. Lazarus didn't ask to be risen from the dead. But since he was a product of a miracle, what Jesus had done, religious leaders didn't want to leave any kind of proof If God were to use a person in the body of Christ to heal and deliver someone, and that word gets out and that individual works behind the scenes to try and get that other person back in bondage, you know you're on the wrong side of that. So if you got on the wrong side, get back on the right side. Repent. Thank God for repentance. Thank God for his grace. Because I think at one point in time, we all may have, well, I don't know about that. Is it really real? I don't know. I don't ever doubt the power of God operating in somebody else's life. I think that's awesome. If he could do it through them, he could do it through me. I got to believe. We don't get jealous. We just got to believe. Lord, if I'm missing it, let me know. Lord, why is that marriage so great? If I'm missing it, help me out. I'm not going to be jealous of somebody else's marriage because they got it good. So I need to tear their marriage up because my marriage isn't doing well. Sometimes that green eye envy that might get it, that might come up and off of our flesh may get us to the place to where we get out of the will of God for our life. He wants us walking in his spirit. See, there was even a time where they said, you're not the only ones, his disciples, who was walking with them every single day. Mark chapter 9 says this. They were wanting to stop a person from using the name of Jesus. It says, John said to Jesus, teacher, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he wasn't in our group. Don't stop him, Jesus said. No one who performs a miracle in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. Even Jesus didn't stop it. Well, that church is doing certain things. Leave them alone. They're doing it in the name of Jesus. Leave them alone. Because if they don't have authority to use it, you're going to find out what's going to happen. Seven sons of Sceva. Leave them alone. Well, we got to stop it. No, you don't. That ain't for you to stop. Jesus, they had every right to stop him. Every right. And Jesus said, no, leave him alone. See, you don't have to waste your time, your energy, none of that. Somebody's trying to do stuff in the name of Jesus, they'll find out whether or not they're a true disciple. Let them be. You continue to do what God has called you to do. You keep your focus on him and his purpose for your life. No church and no certain denomination can solely say that they are God's true servants. No one part of the body can make that claim. Why? Because there are many parts and we make up the body. We come together because of Jesus, that he has given glory in the church throughout generations. It becomes too easy to focus on our needs, but if you trust in him, he will supply all your needs. In Philippians 4:19, it says, Paul said to the church of Philippi, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Paul's needs were met by this church, and they gave out of their deepest poverty. See, one person may not be able to meet the needs of everybody else, but when you come together as a community in unity, you can meet somebody else's needs. That's a beautiful thing. We're thinking outside ourselves. That's a kingdom agenda. That's an everyday agenda. In Galatians 3:26, it says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And you have all been united with Christ in baptism and have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the children of Abraham. You are heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Y'all ever read about them promises? There's some pretty good promises. Go back and read all those promises that God had promised Abraham. They belong to you because you are heirs. You're joint heirs with Christ. You know, growing up, I don't know about you guys, we had six boys in our family. And I'm telling you, we ate our my parents out of a home. I mean, we ate everything. Didn't matter. Except for cabbage greens. We didn't like that. But what my mom used to do, we used to, we go shopping, pick out the clothes we like for school right before, you know, when school gets out, and then she'll put them on layaway. Right? There used to be a store called Zodis we would go and shop because, I mean, you can get a bundle for a whole lot. You remember Zodis? Yes, and she would put them on. He's from Cali, so Ventura, that's where it was, in Ventura, too. And we would put them on layaway. So, like a week before school starts, we get our clothes. And then the day before school, man, we would line our clothes out, just boom, right there. Now, you had to make sure you didn't grow too much over the summer because there's going to be some high waters there. So I lay out my clothes, my shoes, bright white shoes on top, socks in the shoes. I mean, I'm talking about it's going to be looking nice, looking good. First day. The first week ends up being that way, then it's just casual, whatever, you know? And some people took pride in getting dressed every single day like that. See, we can do that in the body of Christ. Every day is like putting on new clothes because his grace and mercy is new every single day. Every single day you can lay it out. Ooh, I'm ready. Every single day you get up in the morning, it's a new day, new clothes. Put on Christ every single day. It doesn't ever get old because you are a new creature. God, Paul is saying, hey, put on Christ. Put on new, it's like putting on new clothes. New clothes is nice. Fits good. Even to this day, I like putting on new clothes. Putting on a new suit. We get the, man, I'm telling you, my wife and I, we went to Dallas. She was looking sharp. I texted my kids, I said, your mom is showing out up here. Why? You able to put on new clothes, get dressed up. God is so good. And you don't have to walk around every single day looking defeated. Why? Because every day you get to put on him. You get to put on Christ. So not only is he living in you, you get to put that on. You get to put on humility. You get to put on his love. You get to put on his righteousness. You get to put on salvation. You get to put on the armor. You get to, everything is just brand spanking new every day, spiritually speaking. And you don't have to worry about the clothes getting smaller. I don't know what she put in our detergent, but on our, those shirts be shrinking up sometimes. Now, that's on me. So you don't have to carry that burden. Let it go. Whatever burden you got, it got your mind going crazy, let it go. Because it's not worth it. What? Put on something new. Jesus wants you to walk around with his love, his desires, his purpose for your life. Put on something new. Stop beating yourself up. You can't change what happened in the past. He ain't worried about that. Put on something new today. See, when you're focused on the healer, the deliverer, rather than the hermeneutics, your relationship with Jesus is just going to soar. It's just going to get better every single day. Every day with him gets sweeter and sweeter because you just learn more about him. You grow closer to him. You become that sweet aroma that he needs you to be so that you're not going around repelling everybody, chasing them down for a number. Blue spiral notebook, wrote it down. This is how my wife is going to be. He not only met that, he exceeded it. Even though she chased me. Gotcha. clothes today. Whatever's got you bogged down right now, just inwardly, Lord, I thank you for these new clothes. I thank you for your righteousness. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace and mercy. Put it on. Clothe yourself with his humility. Put it on. See, we also have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus, as Paul was given. The church of Philippi sowed into Paul. He was thankful for that. They met his needs. Today you have an opportunity to meet somebody's needs. You have a great opportunity to meet somebody's needs that is needing help. Tom, you have a basket up there? Yes, sir. No, you can bring two. Sorry. I was just testing your flexibility there. He bent down to get it and was like, I'll hold one here. Andy, can you come up here? Can you hold this? This isn't for you because you got that Chiefs shirt on. We do right by everybody who doesn't wear a Chiefs shirt. That's why. If you have any money in your pocket, you don't know who this is for yet, and we're going to give it to them. All right, just come on up and sow generously to help someone. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that this is probably one of the best giving churches I've ever seen in my life. Yep. That came from years of the leadership here because they were giving people. The person who founded this church was a giving person. And you all just maintained to be giving people. And I thank you for that. Young man, can you come up? Yes, you. You're needing some help?
I am, desperately, yeah.
Okay. Well, the church is here to meet your needs.
Thank you.
Amen. Here you go. Take that, that's yours. We keep the basket, though.
You too.
Stuff your pockets.
God bless you.
Amen. Father God, we just thank you for this young man here. What's your name?
Tyler Williams. Sir.
Tyler, we thank you for Tyler. We thank you for his heart. We thank you, Lord, that you, everyone that who had given, Lord, that you would bless that back to him, Lord. And we just thank you for this young man and the life that you have for him, the purpose that you have for him, Lord, that he's on that pathway to whatever you've called him to do, Lord. And we just thank you for his needs being met today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, my friend.
Yeah, sure. Keep it short. No, sorry. He said he needed to talk to me after service. That's it. I'm not a long talker. Well, let's stand. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I say, hey, be that sweet aroma. That sweet aroma. Seriously. It's like, if you're having a Lord, what is it? Just stick with him. The more you draw closer to him, people will see Jesus in you. Amen. God bless you. Isaiah's going to close you out. God bless you. God bless you.
Hello. All right. How y'all doing? If you know anything about being a pastor's kid, you get asked to do a lot of stuff. And I say asked. That's the reason I'm up here. I got a few quick announcements, though. Wednesdays, again, are going to be 30 minutes early, so starting at 6:30. We're back in R3, so if you know any middle school or high school students, send them out. Invite them. We'd love to have them. Then college is starting up this week, so that'll start at 7:30. We provide a free meal, so again, any college-age students that want to come out and do a little Bible study, we have that as well. So But other than that, that's all I got. So we can pray and get out of here. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just the life that you've given us, Lord. And we just ask that we continue to grow closer to you every single day and that we learn to keep you first in our lives no matter what's going on. Father God, we thank you for you just being the God who answers prayers, Lord, and the God that we know is always there for us. And Father God, we thank you for a great rest of the week and that we are protected from all hurt, harm, and danger, all sickness and disease, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a great rest of your week. See you Wednesday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.